We hear a lot of perspectives on the Mankind podcast. Inclusion of a guest is not an endorsement of their views, and the opinions expressed here do not always represent the mission or values of the Mankind Project USA.
Looks like the rain has gone.
Gregory Russell Benedict, mate, great to have you back on the show.
I am so happy to be back, Brennan.
Yeah, here we are. Day 44 of your Living Bold initiative and challenge. And we had you come on at around day 19. And it was a big hit. We had a lot of people write in, very stoked, very inspired by what you're doing. Now you're a little bit deeper into it. And something that has come up for me quite a bit is, you know, how you come up with these ideas, right? So give us some insights into some of the recent asks that you've been getting out there in the world and kind of delivering to strangers.
Absolutely. Before I do, I want to point out day 19, day 44. Those aren't exactly whole round numbers. And it speaks to how hard this is. I have been on this journey to do 100 days of being bold and talking to strangers. And it definitely started out as consecutive days. And I would say that it has been mostly consecutive, but we'll get into this a little bit later. This is hard. 100 days is way longer than I previously imagined. I mean, it's pretty much a third of a year. And I just wanted to point that out to be a little vulnerable and also bring people into it. Like, if you want to do this, fantastic. Buckle up. It is challenging. It is fun. Crazy things will happen in your life, and you will grow more than probably anything else you've done before. And so to answer your question, some of the bold requests I've done recently, and again, most of these, almost all of them actually, happen with complete strangers. A couple of my favorite ones recently have been a little longer in the ask. So we talked about last episode, the big ask that went viral was me asking to cannonball in someone's swimming pool, and he filmed it. I posted a video on Instagram, and that's how I got a lot of these ideas. I started reaching out to everyone who liked the video. There were thousands of people asking, what should I do next? What crazy ideas do you have? What do you want to see me do? And a bunch of these ideas came up. But recently, I've been trying to do ones where you have to build more of a connection with someone. It's not just like, hey, can I do this? And then they either say yes or no. One of my favorite asks recently was asking someone, what is their favorite dish to cook? So I'm at this park. I ask this older gentleman and I'm like, hey man, what is your favorite dish to cook? He's like, it's easy, chili. I go, great, I love chili. Do you want to make it together sometime? That's when he kind of looks over at me and he's like, what? I was like, yeah, could we make this chili recipe together? He's like, no, it's a secret recipe. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. I was like, all right, totally get it. But I really want to make this chili recipe with you. And the asks have turned into this dance of having to keep asking because people think I'm kidding, and them being like, who is this guy? Who is this stranger next to me?
Right.
And I've been bringing in more humor. Like, how many times do we have to hang out before we cook chili together? Do you need a background check? Do you need references? So that one has been really fun. I'm also in my, can I drive this phase, where I've been asking people driving interesting vehicles if I can drive them. So I asked the mailman, can I drive the mail truck? He said, no. I asked an Amazon driver if I could drive the Amazon truck. He said he'd let me drive it if it wasn't against the rules, against the law. Then I also asked if I could drive a golf cart and someone's motorcycle. And so far I am 0 for 5, but it has been a fun experience.
I love that you're putting an emphasis on going deeper, because it's so much easier to run up to a girl and be like, can I have your number? No, bye. And then just bounce away, but actually put in the time to get to know the person on the other end of this conversation. So what's the contrast between your initial, like say 20 days of this experience to now being more intentional with going deeper?
That is such a good question. The initial 20 days were very dramatic, Instagrammable. I was really trying to do things that were crazy and bold and that I could film so that I could share this with people. And I'm trying to do some of that still, but now I'm focusing more on the human connection piece. It's not just all about me. I'm trying to create an experience with a stranger that's funny, that's, dare I say, intimate, that is something that we can both do together. And that's why I've been asking for chili. I've been asking multiple strangers at one time to come together and do something. We had some strangers play leapfrog with us, me and a friend. Me and another friend, we had some strangers do the Macarena with us. I raced a guy down the slide who was watching his kids at the park. I'm trying to bring people into something that's a little more fun instead of just making it all about me. Like, hey, can I have this? Can I do this? And that's been fun, but also challenging because it's a little less sexy. I can't create a video of me having a 10-minute conversation with this guy about letting me cook chili with him.
Right. That's, well, I love that you're able to kind of hold the perspective of like, okay, I could be ridiculous and potentially, I mean, this is my words, but be selfish in my ask right now. Because will it get clicks, right? Will it be something that I can talk about proudly, you know, to others talking about this challenge? But you're really shifting it to, no. This is not an individual journey now at this point. You're welcoming in multiple individuals who have a lot going on in their world to look at and have a conversation, to have connection, which I think is really neat. I mean, you told the story in the last episode how you met your girlfriend. You were just bold enough to be like, oh God, she's beautiful. Okay, I have to say something.
Absolutely. And how I'm bringing people in is with the strangers, and we'll talk about this later in the episode, but I actually have people, strangers, I guess, because I haven't met them yet, who are now participating in this being bold and talking to strangers with me. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that later, but I want to speak to what you said around not just making it the selfish ask. Completely true. I mean, sometimes it is, but a lot of times I'm trying to also bring in this random acts of kindness piece. Mm-hmm. And two of my favorite asks recently, one was I was at a coffee shop and I asked the barista if I could buy her coffee. She was so startled, so thrown off. She was like, what? You want to buy me coffee? Are you serious? I was like, yeah. And she kind of hesitated and I could see the wheels turning in her head. And then she was like, no, I'm going to buy you coffee. And I was like, fantastic. Buy me a coffee and then I'll pay for the next person who comes in. And so it was kind of this pay it forward type thing. Really enjoyed that one. And then just last night, it was Sunday night. I had lots of things to do still. I was grocery shopping, getting gas, all of the things. And I saw this homeless guy standing outside the convenience store. And he opened the door for me when I went in, opened the door for me when I came out. He was making a sign. And so I go up to him and I'm just like, hey, man, what's going on? What are you writing on your sign? And he's like, I'm creating this sign about not lying because this is what my cellmate told me in prison. I'm just like, whoa. So like I'm talking to him about his sign and then I just ask, look, man, how can I help? He's like, well, I'm trying to get to LA and I also want some beer. And I was like, well, I don't know if I can help you with either of those, but I'm going to Whole Foods and I'm going to get you some of my favorite food. So I come back and give it to him. It was just a cool experience. His name was Nick. Like I got to see him as a human being that he is, not just some dude on the side of the road. And yes, that was less bold than asking to jump in someone's swimming pool, but it was probably more meaningful for both him and me.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. Well, I've got to ask, I mean, because my brain is just screaming right now. It's nice to, I mean, I love the fact of the depth you're going in these connections, but there is that little part of me, the little clickbaity part of my brain that goes, all right, what is the bolder ask Mount Rushmore that you're in your mind, you're going before I hit 100, these are the four that I have to do and they make my sphincter pucker. I do not want to, I am not excited to do these, but I know I have to. Is there, what are they? Yeah. What are some examples?
Oh, I was so afraid you were going to ask this question.
Because in saying this, this is kind of a social contract and accountability.
Completely. I don't have defined the Mount Rushmore of bold asks to do yet, but I know the theme of them. I know that they're all going to be personal to me. They are all going to involve some sort of event, probably. I'm thinking about asking to speak at things, to tell this story somewhere would be really fun and exciting and scary. And some of the more difficult ones I've done recently are those personal, meaningful asks. So having a really difficult conversation with my mom last week, having difficult conversations with other people, those have been a part of it. And so I've been moving a little bit away from, you know, like we talked about, the sexy Instagrammable, and more towards the meaningful. And also, what is going to help me make the most progress in my life? Like, what are the things that I want, and having the courage to ask for them? So a lot of the scary, bold asks are going to be around coaching, creating clients, speaking, telling this story. And I don't have the exact specifics yet, but you can hold me to asking at least a couple of different places if I can come speak about this experience.
There you go. Nice. I love it, man. Well, so you're not going to go up to a stranger and say, hey, do you want to swap clothes with me?
That is actually on the list.
Really?
It's on the list. That's one that people from Instagram have been telling me to do. And actually, here is something that has happened since our last time we spoke. I started to get all of these similar asks. Like, people really wanted me to swap clothes with someone. People really wanted me to ask a stranger if I can cook dinner for them in their house. And it was so specific, and that one kept coming up again and again and again. And I was like, okay, there's probably someone out there who has done this before, who has created these videos that are popular. And it turns out that that is true. There's a YouTube channel called Discover Connection. But the way I found out about Discover Connection, and the guy who runs the YouTube channel, his name is Brad, is really crazy. And that's kind of a theme of all of this, is that I'm not going to lie to you. There are many days when this sucks. Like, I don't want to talk to people. I mean, I want to talk to people, but I don't want to ask a stranger if I can do this crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the theme here, the takeaway is that you have no idea what's going to happen. And crazy little magical things fall into place. And so I'm on the phone with a friend who I've actually never met before. He lives in Texas. He just came on the Dare to Dream podcast, which is my podcast. You can go listen to it. I believe it's episode 141 with Cody Gould. I'm talking to him. We're catching up. And he said that he just moved in with some roommates. And I'm telling him what I'm doing about this challenge. And he's like, dude, no way. Like, you have to meet my roommate. His name is Brad. He does this professionally. His YouTube channel is called Discover Connection. And he tells me that, and I'm thinking, Discover Connection, why have I heard of that? And I like pull out my phone and I scroll back through my texts. And one of my best friends had sent me this YouTube channel like 2 months ago. It was like, this guy is the best. You have to watch his videos. They're insane. He asks people to cook dinner for them in their house. So basically, I realized that there's a guy out there, Brad, doing this on a way bigger scale than I am. And so serendipitously, I happen to be speaking to Cody, who is his roommate. And Cody's like, yeah, I'll connect you two. So I jump on the phone with Brad. We chat all about this. And it was just such a cool experience, because I probably wouldn't have been able to talk to him if I didn't have that conversation with Cody, because he has a really big YouTube. I'm sure there's tons of people reaching out to him. And that was just a really, that keeps happening. Little synchronistic, serendipitous things. Wow. And maybe we'll talk about this later as well. We have so many ways to take this, but luck doesn't find you when you're at home on a Sunday evening watching the Kardashians. That's a line from Jesse Itzler, who's a serial entrepreneur and ultramarathoner that I love. And that is a big theme, is that if you put yourself out there and be bold, that's when the magic happens. It's not when you're sitting at home thinking about all the things you want to do, but aren't taking action.
Well, man, I want to give you a testimonial, because the way that you inspired me, I'll be honest, I came out of our conversation going like, no way. It's good for you. Good for you. I hope other people jump on board, but not me, right now. And I had to kind of check in with myself, and I was talking to Christine, that you and I had had this interview and was sharing about it. And it really helped me reflect that, you know, boldness is the only thing I think that I can accredit most of my happiness and fulfillment to. Like, it was bold leaving Australia and selling my business and selling all my things in a 12-week period after a snap decision to spend 6 months in South America and end up in America and meet my wife. Like, only boldness has brought me fortune in life, all that to say. And I found myself in this really comfortable place since then. House, wife, baby, work, great. Love it. Lucky me. But yeah, there's this comfort zone kind of sensation I've got going on. And after chatting with you, I'm like, all right, well, what is something small? I always do like emails at 6 a.m. before I work out. And I'm like, what's something I can do? And I'm listening to this TED talk, really inspiring TED talk. And I'm like, screw it. Where is he? Find him. Ask him to come on the show. Yes. Sweet. Two more TED talks. Reach out to them. Both of them. Yes. And I'm like, okay, wow. Like I could have just listened to that and been like, that's nice. But going, wow, I'm just going to reach out and see what happens. And that has just cascaded and continued to happen. So seemingly insignificant ask has turned into a yes, which could mean, and this has happened so much on the podcast, like your experience with Brad, you know, you have a mutual connection. The introduction's made. It looks like your worlds cross over in some really cool ways. You could create connection around that. This podcast has been nothing but that. Mm-hmm. Someone's like, yeah, I would really love to get in touch with this organization. Well, we interviewed the chair. Like, let's make a connection. And it's things just open up that way by being bold. So that's my little testimonial to you, mate. Thank you for the inspiration.
Dude, thank you for sharing that. And that is amazing. Now you have TED Talk speakers coming on the show. Amazing. And that wouldn't have happened if you wouldn't have just had the courage to make that ask. And they say no, they never reply. You're not any worse for it. But now that they said yes, you're so much better.
Bingo, dude. Bingo. Have to share before we move on is that's like one of the ways I got one of my heroes in mixed martial arts, Frank Shamrock, to come onto the show was I just reached out to him on Instagram and he was like, here's my assistant's number. Like, get it, make it happen. And he came on and I was like, you just got to ask. That's all you have to. What is the worst you could have said? No, or not even responded. Life continues. So
what was that like having one of your heroes come on the show? What was the feeling before, during, and after?
Great question. Just joy. There really wasn't much fear. It's just joy. I wanted to talk about all things that wouldn't have been relevant or pertinent, I don't believe, to the audience. So I selfishly wanted to go different places. But before, during, after, it all just felt natural and seamless. So it was just a green light on all fronts.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, just thought I'd share that one. How is this all tying in? You know, you and I have known each other a little while and you constantly model, embody your mantra, right? Which is to live a life. Live a story worth telling. How has this experience, how has that been brought into this experience? And how has your relationship with that mission, that mantra changed from the experience?
That relationship with this concept, this life philosophy of living a story worth telling has only strengthened. I've really begun to think that that is my purpose, to help people live a story worth telling. And living a story worth telling is all about realizing your potential, becoming the best version of yourself. All of these common themes that people want to do, but the story worth telling piece feels like it's my personal spin on things. And it's been such a big part of my life, and it's now what I'm helping other people do. So I've deepened it to realize that there's six pillars to living a story worth telling, and boldness is one of them. So this whole challenge for me is about boldness. The other six pillars are love, fear, purpose, clarity, and health. You need all of these in equal amounts to live a story worth telling, because to be honest, living a story worth telling is exhausting. Mm-hmm. I have been pushing myself harder physically and mentally throughout the past 44 days. And doing this every single day, it takes a lot out of you. And so you need to love yourself. 100%. You need to have that level of self-love so that when people say no, you realize it's not about you, but it's they're busy, they're doing something. You need to face your fears on a consistent basis, because I am so convinced that everything you want in life is on the other side of fear. Hmm. You have to have a purpose. You have to have some reason you get out of bed, some bigger thing that you're aiming at. And I think that the key here is having a purpose instead of your purpose. It is really heavy if you're trying to find your purpose for your entire life. That's hard.
Yeah.
I wanted for myself, I wanted that lightning bolt moment where I suddenly knew what I was supposed to do with my life. And I struggled for years, 6 years, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I realized that me struggling to figure out what I wanted to do was actually how I help other people figure out what they want to do. So purpose is so big. It's energy in the fuel tank. It just gets you out of bed. You need clarity to figure out who I want to be as a person and how I want to show up and interact, and also clarity on where I'm going. And then the last pillar, health, is literally the foundation. You have to be healthy. You have to have the energy, the vitality, the stamina to keep going. And so those are the six pillars of living a story worth telling. And I would love to get into it. I'll have to take a sip of water here, but I would love to get into it to tell the story of how this concept of live a story worth telling came about.
Absolutely, mate. You take that little sip of H2O and then we'll buckle up because I want to hear this.
All right. This story was really the genesis of living a story worth telling, in that when I retold this story at Toastmasters, I was giving a speech on it. This line just came out of my mouth. The concept of wanting to live a story worth telling. I hadn't had it planned. I hadn't written it down. It just emerged. And I got feedback after I gave this speech that living a story worth telling really resonated with some people. So that's a little bit about it. And this story begins, I think, in 2018. I was living in San Francisco at the time. I was flying home from Phoenix, and I'm on a plane in the aisle seat, and I sit next to this older couple. A man is sitting next to me. His wife is by the window seat, and they're from Poland. And I start chatting with them. Their names are Jerzy and Aniela, and we just start hitting it off, me and Jerzy. We're talking about all the things I love: fitness, nutrition, exercise, human connection, meditation. We talk the whole flight. I'm telling him what I do for working out. He's telling me what he does. He's really just giving me that like quintessential old man mentor moment, telling me how to be successful in life and all the things. And as we're landing, he asks if he can give me some advice. And I go, for sure. I would love some advice. And him and his wife, Aniela, they say, all right, you need to do three things in life to be happy. First, you need to implement a daily meditation routine. Meditation is super important. It'll help you in so many ways. I'm like, got it. I already do that most of the time. Second, start learning about Stoicism. Stoicism is this ancient philosophy. It's a very practical philosophy popularized by Ryan Holiday. If you're listening and you want to go find out more, it's all about figuring out what you can control and what you can't control and the difference between the two. It's also a heavy emphasis on character. I'm like, great, Stoicism, I'll start learning about it. The third thing they say I need to do in order to be happy is take dancing lessons. And when they said that, I could just feel my stomach drop. Mm-hmm. I've never been a good dancer. I've always wanted to be a good dancer. It's scary. It's awkward. And they explained that dancing lessons for them have been the key to their relationship. They go dancing multiple times a week. And they told me, face your fears, go take dancing lessons. And I'm like, okay, all right, I can do that. So we're getting off the plane, and Jerzy turns to me and he goes, hey, I actually was just on a podcast recently. If you want to go listen to it, go check me out. I was recently on the Tim Ferriss podcast. And I look at him and my jaw just drops. And I'm like, okay, I'll go listen to it. And so I'm in the Uber on the way home, and I listen to Tim Ferriss, one of my heroes, and Naval Ravikant, another one of my heroes, co-interview Jerzy Gregorek, the four-time Olympic weightlifting world champion, the guy who coaches both of them, who is literally the like secret coach. They couldn't even use his real name at first on the podcast because he is so popular in Silicon Valley. They interview him talking about all of the things I was asking. It's like the old sage to the young student. And I am just so embarrassed. I'm like, I cannot believe that I just spent 2 hours on the plane telling him what I do to work out when he's literally the expert. So basically, I'm just shocked. I'm like, I can't believe he didn't tell me this. And he just let me blather on about all the things I do. And I was like, okay, I need to do these things. He had mentioned at the end of our conversation, he's like, hey, once you do these things, reach out to me. And now that I know how incredibly huge he is, I'm like, okay, he's never going to remember me. But over the next couple of years, I slowly set about implementing the things he said. So I start meditating daily. I start studying Stoicism. I put off dancing lessons for a long, long time. And finally, I do it. I took a dancing lesson, a private dancing lesson with a lovely guy named Dave. It was very awkward, very uncomfortable, but I got it done. And then I started thinking about how could I reach out to Jerzy and his wife, Aniela. I would love to tell them about this, but it seemed impossible. I wasn't doing my 100 days of bold action yet, so I didn't do anything for a while. And then that is when the universe started to work its magic. It turns out that the person who connected us, Dane Sanders, had Jerzy come on his podcast, and I listened to it, and I was working with Dane in some capacity at that time, and I reached out to him, and I was like, I can't believe you interviewed Jerzy. I've actually met him before, and I told him a little bit of the story. Dane says, Jerzy and I really hit it off. We're having dinner in San Jose on Sunday. You should come. Now, I live in San Diego. That's like an 8.5-hour drive, and I was just getting home from a trip that Sunday morning. I had been gone for about a week, and it was in that moment when this live a story worth telling philosophy really crystallized. I asked myself, what would I want to reflect back on? Do I want to think about for the rest of my life how I had an opportunity to have dinner with Jerzy and Aniela and tell them how this whole thing went full circle and they changed my life? Or do I want to not show up because I'm tired, it's a long drive, all of the things? And so that's when I really leaned into living a story worth telling. I got home, got off the plane, jumped in my car, drove 8.5 hours to have dinner with them. And now let me set the stage a little bit. We're in San Jose. We show up to an Indian restaurant. It's myself, Dane, and Jerzy and Aniela meet us at the restaurant. I introduce myself. They don't remember me. It had been like 4 or 5 years. I look different. I obviously have a mustache now. And we're having dinner. It's going great. And there's a lull in the conversation. And that's when I look at Jerzy and Aniela and I go, hey, can I tell you guys a quick story? They're like, yeah. So I tell the story about this time I was on a plane and I sat next to this couple from Poland and they told me all this life advice. And as I'm telling this story, Jerzy, he's like a really serious guy, but likes to make jokes. He like interrupts me and he goes, oh, it sounds like something we would say. And I just kind of laugh and keep telling the story. And then I get to the end of it and I say that that couple on that plane who told me to do these three things, that couple was you guys. And just shocked, so shocked. And Yella has like tears coming down her face and she's like, I recognize you. I don't recognize your face, but I recognize your energy. And it was just this beautiful, beautiful moment. It felt like a movie, right? It was like the hero and the mentor and the trials and the tribulations and going full circle. And the fact that I got to have dinner with these two people who are incredibly hard to get dinner with was so cool. And that live a story worth telling concept is encapsulated in all of that. And that you have to just take action, put yourself out there, try and increase your luck by putting yourself in those unusual and uncomfortable situations. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
That was my next question. When's the TED Talk?
One day, one day. As soon as you do yours, we'll maybe do it together.
I would love that. Wow. Wow. Man. Well, don't you just come in a nice, pretty package, Greg? With your story and your challenges and meeting these people, there is, I think you can give credit, of course, to serendipity. Let's just say, like, wow, thank you, universe. But without the intention and the action, like you said, what separates people from their heroes is the action piece. I don't know if you said that before we got recording. I can't recall now.
That was before. Maybe I jump into that quick story real quick.
Yeah. I'll just tie this up.
Perfect.
To say that, like, those miracles, those magic moments, like you've said so many times before, those don't come out of thin air. Those are created. That's not waiting for the stars to go into alignment. It's finding what's in alignment right now and acting based on that. So, but yes, tell me your hero epoch.
Absolutely. I think that's such an important thing to slow down on, is that is the secret sauce. It's taking action, being willing to look stupid, to screw it up, to be uncomfortable. Like, that is the only thing that has allowed all of this magic to happen. It is absolutely nothing to do with talent or skill or any of that, because I feel like that's really the message that I want people to take away when they listen to these stories, is that if I can do it, you can do it. The only reason it's working for me is because I'm willing to sweat through all of these shirts and have sweaty palms. And even before this conversation, like, I love talking to you, and there's always the voice in the head of like, oh, the first episode was pretty good, this one sucks. And you just got to take action. And so this piece around action and how it's the difference maker comes from an experience I had last week. I went to my first, I guess we'll call it an entrepreneurial conference. It was in San Diego. A friend had an extra ticket, and I only showed up for a couple hours, but I show up and I get to see Jesse Itzler give his talk. And Jesse Itzler, he's a serial entrepreneur. He is an ultra marathoner. He's an author. He got pretty famous for his book, Living with a Seal, where David Goggins came and lived with him for 30 days. And he's also married to Sarah, I believe her last name is Blakely, the founder of Spanx. So billionaire, super cool guy. He's a great dad, father of four. And his talk was so cool. And it was all about taking action and putting yourself out there. And while he was saying it, the only thing I could think about was, man, he's up on the stage telling all of these amazing stories, inspiring people, and I'm here in the audience, and it doesn't feel good. If I come back to one of these events in the future, I want to be the guy on the stage. I want to be up there telling my life story, not because I want the attention and the accolades, but because I want to use my experiences to help other people live their story worth telling. And his talk was amazing. I mean, he's so passionate. He had amazing stories. He's funny. He's charismatic. And then the guy who came on after him was none of that. Honestly, seemed like a very average dude. But in the introduction, they're talking about how he's made like $60 million and all of these things. And it really struck me in that moment that the difference between the people on the stage and those in the audience was that the people on the stage took action. They took bold action over and over and over again. They weren't afraid to fail because they did. They weren't afraid to screw up because they did. Pretty much each of your heroes, think about your hero. I guarantee that they had 3 or 4 or 5 or 17 failures before they became, air quotes, successful. And I think that is the difference maker. The difference between you and your heroes is that your heroes took bold action, and so can you. There is no skill requirement to take bold action. You have to move your body through physical space, stand there, open your mouth, talk to someone. And that, I think, is really the only thing that matters, that makes a difference.
Might I challenge the tiniest bit of that? Because I agree with 99% of it. Was you said that these people that you may separate yourself from in your mind is that they weren't afraid to take action. They weren't afraid to fail. Perhaps they were as terrified as you are right now, right? They say courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the acknowledgement and awareness of it, but still putting your left foot in front of your right foot, still moving forward.
I'm so glad you slowed down on this piece, because you are absolutely true. What I mean to say is that they took action despite the fear. It's what I call taking terrified action. The fear is there. It doesn't matter. I mean, the fact that you're scared means you're human and you're not a psychopath. But taking action despite the fear, in face of the fear, is the difference maker. And I'm so glad you said that, because yes, everyone feels the fear. Not everyone takes the action.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Man, another testimonial to just the importance of boldness. I'll make this quick. You know, my dad, growing up here in the South, if people didn't already recognize by my accent, I'm a Tennessee boy through and through. so my dad was born here, raised here, good old Southern values, grow up to do what your daddy done kind of mentality. And my dad dropped out of college, unbeknownst to my grandfather, and took off to Hilton Head to get on a sailboat and go sailing, because he just could not stand being in and around any form of academia. And 10 years of living as a yachtsman landed him in Australia, where he met my mum in a storm shelter. Like, if it wasn't for boldness, I wouldn't be here. So there is so much, there is unending proof for this. And I take that with me from every time I chat with you, is like, man, like this comfort zone thing is nice. It's lovely. It's warm. It's cozy. But man, I get bored when I'm there too long. the fulfillment really starts to wane without those little seemingly insignificant moments that sharpen my sword and freak me the F out.
Yeah.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. Well, you've inspired me. I've been able to take more action just from our conversations. But since we've last spoken, you have something a bit more concrete that if people are really feeling the calling to get into something like this, they don't have to figure it out on their own. They don't have to try and go viral on Instagram. You've actually created something to invite people into. So tell us about the 14-day boldness bootcamp.
Yes. Yes. So that's a big thing I love to do, is as soon as something seems like it's working just a little bit, try and build something around it in real time in front of people to see if they like it, to see if they hate it. And that is what I've been doing in bringing people into this journey with me. The 14-day boldness bootcamp is the first 2 weeks of a group program I do called Live a Story Worth Telling, obviously. And I'm giving away the first 2 weeks for free because I want people to experience this for themselves. I want people to come join me and make a bold ask every single day to a stranger, to start to get out of the comfort zone, to flex those discomfort muscles. And while they're doing that, week one is usually just making some silly, bold asks. And while they're doing that, we meet one-on-one and I have them go through this guided journaling session to help them figure out what is their story worth telling? What is the story they want to tell with their life? And then in the second week, we start tailoring some of those bold asks to be more applicable to who they want to become, the goals they want to accomplish, the thing they're aiming at. And it's been super fun because I'm getting to meet strangers who are now going out and talking to other strangers. Selfishly, it's so much easier for me when there's other people in this group and we're checking in and I'm getting inspiration for ideas, but I'm also just getting a boost of energy and motivation because it's really hard to do this alone. And so if you're listening to this and you feel something in your stomach, in your heart, in your soul, and it's calling you to step out, to take action, come join me for 14 days in the 14-day boldness bootcamp. We'll get to know each other. We'll have some one-on-one time. We'll have some group time. And I guarantee you will leave the 14 days with some aspect of your life being substantially improved.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, for those listening that feel called to take action with the 14-day boldness bootcamp, there will be a link in the show notes that you can get your hands on and find out more. Mate, when are we next meeting? We're 40% of the way of this 100-day journey. What's a good number for you?
We need to meet at the end when I've done the 100 days.
Okay.
Sticking to 100 days sounds terrible, to be honest. It is a lot, but I want to do it. I want to stick to this. And I don't want 19 or 44. I want 100. So once we hit 100, we'll set it up.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, how about this? Because you know what that means. If that's the next time we're meeting, between now and then, we got to get a hold of Jia Jiang to have him join us in that interview.
Yes. Yes.
How do we make that happen?
Asking for it.
Author of Rejection Proof, one of the, you know, early inspiring kind of characters for Greg to jump into this one. Well, so we'll have to sync up and make that happen. I might bug you for an interview before 100.
Happy to do it.
There is too much gold just in what 25 days will provide. There's too much gold to not get together and create more alchemy. So, mate, any final words that you'd like to share before we jump off?
I think the thing I'll share to close it down and to bring everything together is that people are craving human connection. That is one of the themes that keeps coming up over and over and over again throughout this journey, whether it's people wanting to come in to the 14-day boldness bootcamp and do it alongside other people, or it's the strangers I talk to where the ask is 15 seconds and it turns into a 15-minute long conversation. And I'm usually the one who's like, actually, I'm so sorry, but I have to go. I have a call or I have this appointment. The amount of times where I've asked people a question and they go, are you serious? Like, you actually want to know this from me? Like, I ask people what their definition of success is, if they have any life lessons. they're so shocked that some stranger is taking an interest in them and wants to hear their perspective that they just light up and they pour it all out and then they won't let me leave.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. And it really reinforces for me that people are craving human connection and strangers aren't as scary as the news portrays them. Everyone I've talked to has been amazing. Even the people who don't have time for me because they're doing something else, they are amazing. And that's the last little pro tip, is that almost everyone who isn't doing something says yes to the things I ask. Wow. They take the time, they hear me out, and they just want to chat. They just want to tell me about their life and what they're up to.
Yeah.
So people are craving human connection. Don't be afraid to go talk to them.
And I love that, because you're not walking in with a MAGA hat or a BLM t-shirt or something that is going to put you in a box in people's minds, because that's what media does. It makes us think in black and white, good and bad. And I bet you some of the people you had the deepest connections with, who knows, you may disagree with on so many different things, yet that's not what it was about. It wasn't trying to find likeness via the things you agree on. It's human connection. Human connection. I love that. I'm a fan of it. I'm a proponent of it. And I call for it, more of it in this world. And we get to achieve that by having conversations like this. We get to achieve that by inviting you, the listeners, into conversations like this. And so I want to, you know, really send that call to action back to you. How can you create a little bit of an extra human connection in your life today? Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the day after that. You can do it. It's not as difficult as you may build it up to be. Greg, thank you for taking the time to be here, mate. It's always a pleasure when we get to share the mic. But of course, the greatest thanks goes to you, the listeners, who join us each and every week, where we prove that there is more than one way to be a man at the Mankind Podcast. Thank you again. Lots of love. And we will see you all next week. This has been another episode of the Mankind Podcast, produced in association with the Mankind Project USA. We have been your hosts, Boyson Hodgson, and myself, Brandon Clift, and we want to thank our guests for joining us today and imparting their wisdom from their experiences in this amazing journey called life. If you want to find out more about today's guests and support them in their mission, you can find links to them in the show notes. Now, if you have found gold and insights that you believe could benefit your loved ones and those you care about, be sure to share it with them. And of course, we are always grateful for a rating and review of the show on iTunes. Now, above all else, we've got to thank you, the listener, because through your attention and your support, you have made it possible for us to let men all over the world know that they are not alone and that there is more than one way to be a man. And if something in this episode has touched you, then perhaps it is the call to action to get involved in men's work. With live trainings happening constantly and in-person trainings happening all over the world, the Mankind Project definitely has something for you. Now, if you've enjoyed the music in this episode and all of our episodes, be sure to check out Jim Donovan and the Sun King Warriors. I have links to them in the show notes. And lastly, just know, what it means to me to be a man is completely different than what it means for you. That is the beauty of this journey. So if you are looking for guidance, support, and community as you begin to unpack and dive deeper into your men's work journey, then you know where to find us. Same place, same time, next week. Lots of love. We'll see you then.